Welcome to Real Life. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, and you're listening to the Real Life LA podcast, coming to you from the San Gabriel Valley of sunny Southern California. We're a church for everyone, and we exist to lead people to Jesus, a community of grace with a God-sized vision that reaches from generation to generation. As you hear today's message, we pray that God speaks specifically to you and opens your heart and inspires you to live each day with more joy, beauty, and wonder. Hey, Real Life Church, it's Pastor Jim. Good to be with you again. Today we are going to dive back into our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and today we come to a spiritually profound, deep, provocative part of the sermon. We come to something that's really unusual, and it's something that, as far as I can tell, the modern American Christian has let this fall off their radar entirely. So this is a really important one today. We've been in the Sermon on the Mount. We've gone through Matthew chapter 5, which is the don'ts. You've been told don't commit murder. I tell you don't even hold on to anger. You've been told don't commit adultery. I tell you don't even lust. And then we're in chapter 6, and chapter 6 is the do's, but it's in the form of whens. So when you give, do it this way. When you pray, do it this way. And thirdly, today, when you fast, do it this way. And fasting is a unique spiritual discipline that's existed throughout the history of the world. The ancient cultures practiced fasting. Today it still exists. You hear about it in our modern world. But the power and significance of fasting, I think, is largely lost on the church today. And today we're going to recover it. So let's pray together. Jesus, thank you that you call us into a new kingdom, and it's like learning a new language. There are things that we don't understand and things that we haven't heard before and things that we need to pick up. So Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to this new kingdom and this new world. Help us to learn the language of heaven. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 6, starting at 16. There's just four short little verses today. There's this one little, the third when in chapter 6. He's told us, when you give, here's how to do it. When you pray, here's how to do it. And here's what he has to say about fasting. Verse 16, this is Jesus speaking. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. This is the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders who like to put their religiosity on display because they live in a very religious culture and they're praised and respected and revered for showing off how religious they are. And so when they have a day of fasting, which the Pharisees did 2 days a week on Monday and Thursday, the Christians would change it to Wednesday and Friday. But on Monday and Thursday, the Pharisees would fast because they believed those were the days that Moses went up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments and came down with the Ten Commandments. They believed that was on a Monday and a Thursday. So they fasted those 2 days. And when they did it, they made sure everybody knew, I haven't had anything to eat today. I'm suffering. I'm so hungry. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Oil in the hair was a cleanser. It was like a soap in the ancient world, and it was a little bit of a hair product, made your hair shiny. So put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to our Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And that's the short, sweet little teaching on fasting in the Sermon on the Mount, but it is profound. And it's put up there on the level of giving and prayer. My sense is that we as modern Christians today, we're eager to pray. We pray when we're in need. We pray at the dinner table. We pray before we go to bed. We have regular habits of prayer. We pray when we're desperate. When it comes to giving, a lot of us don't. When it comes to giving, the biblical guideline is that we'd give 10% of our income to our local house of worship. And on average, the studies have shown over and over again that the most devout Christians are giving about 3% on average. And Jesus didn't say, if you decide to give, here's how to do it. He said, when you give, here's how to do it. And it's exactly on the level of prayer. When you pray, when you talk to me, here's what you do. And when you give, here's what you do. And then we come to fasting. And my sense is this one is practiced even less than giving. When you fast, most Christians that I know of, most run-of-the-mill, everyday churchgoers who are serious about their faith, have nonetheless never fasted before. Let me tell you how I discovered fasting. I went to a Catholic high school for 2 years of my high school experience, and they had this thing in the season leading up to Easter called Lent, where they would say, we're going to fast on fast from meat, but on Fridays, we're just going to have fish. And I remember thinking, a fish is meat. I mean, what's special about Friday? Is that why we say, thank God it's Friday? Friday is some kind of religious holiday I wasn't aware of. But that's what they do. They're at the cafeteria in the high school on Fridays, only fish. And I couldn't figure out why. It was just what they did. And most of my friends who were Catholic, who grew up Catholic, didn't know why either. And back then, somebody told me the joke. They said there was this guy who was living in a largely Catholic town, and he was Protestant. And he would go out and grill steaks on his grill outside during Lent. And all the Catholics could smell these heavenly steaks cooking. And they were mad because they couldn't have meat during Lent except fish on Fridays. And so they eventually went and they said, hey, this is a Catholic town. You're going to have to come to the Catholic Church and get baptized. You're going to be Catholic. So he went to the Catholic Church to be, you know, a friendly neighbor, and the priest baptized him. And when he did, he said, you were born a Protestant, you were raised a Protestant, now you're a Catholic. The next week rolls around, and the Catholics smell steak cooking in this guy's backyard on a Friday. And they thought, he's Catholic now, he can't do that. And they went and they peeked over the fence, and he was sprinkling water on the steak. And he said, you were born a steak, you were raised a steak, and now you're a fish. And that was about how seriously I understood fasting in my Catholic school days. Didn't understand it all, didn't know why they did it. And they didn't seem to have a good explanation for it. My first year out of college, I went to work for a church as a youth minister because I wanted to make sure I was on the right path before I went to graduate school. I didn't want to sink tens of thousands of dollars and another 3 years into a degree that I wasn't sure I was going to use. So I took, this is advice I'm giving you. So I took a year off and went to work for a church. And when I did, my boss, my supervisor, was very into fasting. He liked fasting. And, you know, there's this verse in the book of Proverbs that says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's a poetic way of saying God likes to put two people together who are going to annoy each other so they can polish each other down. And that's exactly what happened. My supervisor annoyed me and I annoyed him. He did a lot of deep sighing that year. I would say things to him and he would go, a lot of deep sighing that year. Because I was a philosopher. I had just gotten a degree in philosophy. I wanted reasons for things. I wanted to talk about ideas. He was a pragmatist. He just wanted to get things done. He was trying to run a church, run a youth group, make things happen. And he was just a pragmatist. And so I would come up with ideas and questions, and he would give me deep sighs in return. So we came to the subject of fasting, and he liked to fast. And he said, you know, you should really try practicing fasting. And I said, why? What would God get out of me starving myself? How does that do anything for God at all? And he went, well, if you fast, if you abstain from food, it shows God that you're really serious. It gets God's attention. And I said, if I had a child and my child tried to get my attention by starving himself, I would take my child to the psychiatrist because that's not healthy. And my supervisor went, that's how that year went. So he took it very seriously, but he couldn't explain to me himself why it was useful or helpful. In the modern world, it's not much different now. You hear about fasting today, but only as it pertains to diet. There's this thing called intermittent fasting. And if you don't know what this is, you can go Google it. It's a dietary practice to help people lose weight, and that's it. And some people say it works and some don't. Just last month, I read an article that said it might be bad for your heart in some way, so be careful about it. And I don't take reports like that very seriously. There's a different report every 6 months that says coffee is good for you, coffee is bad for you, coffee is good for you, coffee is bad for you. And for every single report, I'm still going, thanks for the information. I don't know. Intermittent fasting, maybe, maybe not. But here's where I got stuck. For all of the lack of good information I had about fasting, lack of good explanation, fasting runs throughout the Bible. In the Bible, everybody fasts. Moses fasts when he gets the Ten Commandments. King David fasts when he's praying that his son wouldn't die. The prophets tell people to fast. God, through the prophet Joel, tells people to fast. Daniel fasts when he's in Babylon. Isaiah gives explicit and long descriptions of when to fast and how to fast. Ezra fasts when he leads people back to rebuild Jerusalem. Jesus fasts for 40 days before he begins his ministry. The early disciples fast when they are finding a new disciple to replace Judas. Fasting runs throughout the Bible. And Jesus says, when you fast, here's how to do it, Matthew chapter 6. And remember, when Jesus says when, he means will. He doesn't mean if you want to fast, here's how you do it. When you fast, you're going to do it because that's what followers of Jesus do. This is the groundwork for my kingdom, the constitution that I'm laying out for my kingdom. And in our kingdom, what we do is we give, we pray, and we fast. It's who we are. These are the spiritual disciplines in the kingdom of heaven. You can't get around them. And so I couldn't get around the fact that Jesus told me to fast. And at the end of the day, here was the philosopher giving in to pragmatism. I realized, you know, I drive my car everywhere and I couldn't explain to you how gasoline works. I'm sure there's an explanation. I'm sure if I were a chemist, I could probably go look it up. I just don't care that much because I just need my car to get me somewhere. And it occurred to me, fasting might be like that. Fasting might be a thing for which there's an explanation that I don't need for it to work. And so I set out to try it anyway. When I first started fasting, I didn't know. I know now better what it does, but I didn't when I first started. Here's the pragmatic experience that you're going to have when you first start fasting. Because if you want to follow Jesus and be a part of his kingdom, he said, you're going to do this. And when you do it, here's how. The first time you fast, the first time you say, I'm going to mark off a day or half a day, skip breakfast and lunch, and I'm not going to eat. You're going to experience a deep spiritual experience that theologians refer to as being grumpy. And that's all that's going to happen. The first day you fast, you're going to be hungry and you're going to be grumpy, and that's it. And that's everybody's experience of fasting. The first two or three times you do it, you're going to say, I'm just hungry. What good is this doing? And then you're going to notice a pivot. If you make fasting a habit, which you should, check with a doctor. If you have any kind of health issues tied to diet, make sure a doctor signs off on this first. But if you make fasting a habit, there's going to be a pivot pretty early on, maybe the third or fourth time you fast. You'll experience a clarity of mind that you didn't before, and you'll notice it. You'll be able to feel it. You'll be able to think more clearly. You'll focus more clearly. Your senses will be heightened. You'll be better aware. If you sit down to write something, the words will come out easier. And it works for people who aren't Christian too. Fasting is actually a discipline with an effect. It's like gasoline. Even if you don't know what's going on, you'll be able to tell you're getting somewhere. When you decide to fast, if you're going to be serious about it, over time you'll start to realize that clarity then, when you apply it to prayer, manifests as a better ability to hear from God. And you will notice in your prayer times, if you're fasting and praying together, your prayer times will be more deep and rich and meaningful, and you will receive guidance from God like you have not before. And I can tell you a little bit of why that's working now, but even if you don't know why it works, do it. When you fast, Jesus says, do it and watch what happens. Right now in my life, I usually fast about once a week, and usually on Mondays because those are the days I write sermons. And I want to fast when I'm writing sermons. Talk to a doctor. Make sure that it's okay for you. If you have any kind of health issues tied to diet or weight, you don't have to get into this if there's medical issues tied to it. But if you're in good health and it's safe to do, start out just by skipping breakfast or breakfast and lunch, and then skip food for a day. Drink water when you fast. You want to make sure you stay hydrated. Fast for a purpose. When you first start doing it, you're just going to do it to see what it's like, and that's fine. But like King David, who fasted when he was praying for his son's life, fast for a purpose. Fast because there's something in particular that you want to focus on and pray for. And make sure that you're praying while you're fasting, because fasting without praying is just being hungry. It has to be tied to a conversation with God. And here's the deep spiritual principles of fasting that you'll see in the life and ministry of Jesus. There are four of them. One, fasting is about the kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount is laying out the constitution for the kingdom that God is building. It's a different world. It's not the kingdoms of the earth. It's not the law of Moses. It's a different kingdom. And so fasting is abstaining from the things of the earth to focus on the kingdom. That's what fasting is. Secondly, fasting utilizes the fact that our physical bodies and our spiritual selves are intertwined. This is why sometimes when I pray, I kneel down. because physically I am signifying what I'm doing in my heart with God. I'm surrendering and putting myself in a place of worship and submission in front of God. Sometimes when I pray, I open my hands because I'm signifying that I want to receive something from God. God knows it. He doesn't need me to act it out, but my physical body and my spiritual self are intertwined. And fasting grasps that reality. And it's doing something physical with our bodies that signifies what's happening in our souls. And here's the heart of fasting. The number three, this is the reason we fast. Fasting cuts out the noise. Food is the most primal, basic source of sustenance and happiness. From the time we are babies, we know how to suckle. We know how to cry out when we're hungry. It's the most basic part of our nature. And fasting cuts off the sustenance and happiness of the external world, and it focuses solely on the spiritual world. It's like when you drive out into the desert at night and look up at the sky and you realize the sky is riddled with stars. You couldn't see them in the city because in the city you're immersed in the wash of city light and all the stars are dimmed. They're still there. They're just hidden by the artificial lights around us. But when you drive out into the desert at night, you see what's really there in the heavens. And fasting does that. It cuts out the temporary satisfaction that we get from food to say, I want to see what's behind this world. I want to see what's really in the heavens. I want to cut out the things that satisfy me for a moment to focus on the things that can satisfy me for eternity. And like a plant that grows towards light, when we cut out the temporary lights, our heart will grow towards the permanent light. When I was in kindergarten, they had us do this little experiment where we planted a seed in soil in a little plastic cup so you could see the seed growing up towards the light above it. And then the teacher said, now turn the cup on its side and watch what happens. And sure enough, the plant made a 90 degree turn and still continued growing towards the light, even though the opening in the soil was now off to the side. The plant always focused on the light and grew towards the light. And our hearts, our souls do just that. Our souls grow towards that which feeds them. And if we cut out food for a moment to focus on prayer and on God, our souls will receive their sustenance from somewhere else and will grow in that direction. That's what fasting does. And if you don't fast, you are robbing your soul of one of the most powerful catalysts for spiritual growth that you have. And Jesus told you to do it. He said, in our kingdom, this is what we're going to do. This is what it looks like. Don't cut this out just because you don't understand how gasoline works. And fourthly, a fourth spiritual key that runs through Jesus' teachings on fasting is that humility is a critical part of spiritual disciplines. And this runs through Matthew chapter 6. When you give, don't call attention to it because you've received your reward in full. When you pray, don't call attention to it because you've received your reward in full. And here again in fasting, when you fast, don't do it like the hypocrites who try to make sure everybody knows what they're doing. They've received their reward in full. Do it in secret and let God reward you. Humility is celebrated in the scriptures. In the book of Proverbs, it says, humility is rewarded with riches and honor. Peter says that God lifts up the humble. The prophets and Jesus himself say that when someone is humble, God exalts them. And when someone exalts themselves, God humbles them. Humility is a critical thread that runs through all spiritual discipline. And fasting is no exception. When we have the humility as children to call out to our parents to say, help, I need you, a good, loving, and healthy parent runs to help the child. When we get to those teenage years and we say, hey, I don't want your help, I want to do this myself, a good, healthy, and loving parent will say, okay, try it yourself, see what happens. If we mature to the point as adults that we are able to say to a parent, hey, I want your advice again, I'm not a teenager anymore. I respect the fact that you've been around longer than I have and I want your advice. A good, healthy, and loving parent will say, okay, good, I want to talk to you about that. And God is like that. When we have the humility of a child to say, Daddy, I need you, he's eager to help. If we say, hey, I don't want your help, he'll say, okay, do it on your own terms and see how that goes. But when we mature spiritually to the point that we realize we really are dependent on God, God is happy to advise and to guide and to teach and to fill. So a critical characteristic of all spiritual disciplines, fasting included, is humility. Here's a teaching on fasting from the prophet Isaiah that gives a kind of a broader picture of fasting. This is in Isaiah 58 at verse 6. "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, God says, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, 'Here I am.'" When we live lives in God's kingdom, when we live lives of spiritual discipline and graciousness and care for the poor and love for the stranger, God rushes to our side and says, "I'm glad to help." So Jesus has now given us the keys to the kingdom. He says, if you want life in the kingdom, here's what you do. You pray, you give, and you fast. Matthew chapter 6 lays it out. There's going to be one more text at the end of Matthew 6 that we're going to get to next week about the fact that once we live in the kingdom and give up the kingdoms of the world, what goes with that release is all of our worry. We get to release worry as well. But Matthew chapter 6 is the locus of spiritual power. It's the center of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the center of Jesus' teachings. And remember, at the heart of the spiritual disciplines in Matthew 6 and the Sermon on the Mount is the Lord's Prayer. And at the heart of the Lord's Prayer is that one line, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that's what Jesus is guiding us towards. A life in which we live surrendered to his will, releasing our claims to this earth and our desires for its rewards, and taking hold solely of the kingdom of heaven to live for Jesus, to live for his love, to let his power flow through us, and to let his kingdom be known. That's the heart of Matthew chapter 6. And if you do these things, if you give and pray and fast, the kingdom of heaven will belong to you. Amen. God bless you. Go be the church. Thanks for joining us today. Now, will you help us welcome others to real life? Share our podcast or find us on Facebook or Instagram at Real Life LA. If you'd like to become a supporter, please visit reallife.la and tap Give to help us welcome everyone to real life. God bless and have a wonderful day.